This is a Rabble Podcast Network show.
New voices in your head.
It's Radio Free Radio.
Now listen to this. You are listening to AWOL Radio on CKMS The Sound 100.3 FM in Waterloo. We are also podcasting on the Rabble Podcast Network at rabble.ca, and you can find AWOL on the web at peaceculture.org.
Welcome to AWOL Radio here on 100.3 Sound FM, Waterloo, Ontario. Host Dan Keller in studio with you for the next couple hours. We're going to have a special guest, radical historian Luke Stewart, coming in at 5 to talk about upcoming actions in Caledonia. Very nice actions of peace, friendship, and respect, trying to rebuild and honor our historic treaties. We're going to hear about more about that if you want to look into it before we have Luke Stewart on. Check out April28.net. Luke was on the radio already today, down in Dunnville or something. So he is ready to go for it. We'll do about half hour or so with Luke. That'll be at 5. Until then, we'll have a Smash the State report featuring lots of news, and hopefully we'll get into an eco update as well as a few other newsworthy items here on AWOL Radio. Check out AWOL Radio on the web, peaceculture.org, or the Rabble Podcast Network, rabble.ca. Of course, we're on the soundfm.ca, streaming on 100.3 FM, or Rogers Cable 946. We're going to kick it to a song or two as we get set up here and ready to go. I know we're a little late getting going, but it was a busy day. We had a full show this morning on GRR, Grand River Radical Radio, and we had an amazing show last night. I shouldn't say we. I went to an amazing show with an amazing band, a few amazing bands, including local group Social Club Number 27. That's ex-Broadcast Zero members. We also had former Class War Kids, Brutal Youth, Rockin' Out, and of course, Rebel Spell. Rebel Spell's playing in Toronto tonight, and then at Rebel Fest on the weekend. If you're around Hamilton this weekend, get down to, where is it playing? The St. Hollywood? Sounds about right, unless that's not in the right city. It's in Hamilton. Check out Rebel Fest on the web. Rebel Spell will be playing there. A whole bunch of other bands, Brutal Youth. I don't have the list in front of me, but I promise you, it will be amazing. With that in mind, I think we'll kick it to another Rebel Spell song. Not from their new album, either. I know, I play a lot of their new album, but it's really good. Especially the songs they didn't play, which we played this morning on Grander for Radical Radio, because they wouldn't play them when we asked real nice. We asked real nice. Come on, play The World Turned Upside Down. No, he said. Well, we're going to play some other stuff anyways. And this one is... I think we're going to go back-to-back songs because they're kind of short. One will be Please Resist. I would like to get into this edition of AWOL Radio. It is the Smash the State Report. Starting it off from anarchistnews.org. Nikki Kish is an anarchist prisoner and co-founder of Bound for Glory magazine, as well as Books to Bars. Nikki is also a published poet, writer, and musician. She is seeking an appeal on her life sentence. She is currently serving a life sentence in Ontario for little more than looking like a street kid. In what the media dubbed the Panhandler Killing, which was used as an excuse for the Toronto Safe Streets Act, we have a case where the police lost the videotapes. There was a complete lack of evidence, including multiple eyewitnesses who did not identify Nikki, and a lack of DNA evidence. This case shows how corrupt the legal system truly is. As per usual, in the media's version of this tragic story, some very important details were left out, such as that the man they labeled as a businessman was a 250-pound ex-street fighter who was a businessman whose business was running porn websites and marketing of porn. His best friend, who was also with him that night, admitted that he had made explicit sexualized comments towards Nikki's friends, including telling them to... get censored, sorry. Nikki's mom, Christine Bivens, who is not an anarchist but an excellent advocate for her daughter, nonetheless, it's noted in this piece, recently did an interview detailing her case. Other excellent articles on this case can be found at infoshop.org and at realscam.com, and just search for Nikki, N-Y-K-I. Currently, Nikki is fighting for an appeal, which is still months away. In the meantime, please share her story. And if you are interested in writing to Nikki, here is her address. Nicole Kish, NICOLEKISH, Max Unit, Grand Valley, 1575, Homer Watson Boulevard, Kitchener, Ontario, N2P2C5. Nikki also continues to publish articles on her blog, run through her support website, freenikki.org. And we'll get to that article, that interview on Tuesday's edition of Grand River Radical Radio. That is with Nikki Kish's mom, Christine Bivens, who I met at the Breaking Bars Building Bridges Conference, anti-prison conference, or prison justice conference, back in February. And she's absolutely amazing, woman. And we'll play that interview, as I said, on anti-prison radio, 8 to 10 a.m. on Grand River Radical Radio on soundfm.ca Tuesday morning. A quick one from the UK/US, but we're talking about extradition here. And considering we have the same legal system as Britain, it might be something to look at. But the UK has decided that they are going to extradite Richard O'Dwyer. He was the creator of a website, TV Shack, which posted links to downloadable, to downloaded TV files. He made a ton of advertising money off of this, or it was alleged he made a lot of advertising money off of this. But now it's saying, the UK is saying that they're going to extradite him to the States, where he faces 5 years in jail. Now, what's interesting about this, or how this links up to other cases, specifically the case of Hassan Diab, who the Canadian government, Rob Nicholson, the Minister of Justice, just informed everyone that he's going to deport academic Hassan Diab to France to face more investigation into his alleged role in a 1980 bombing in France, in Paris. In Florida, in Sanford, where Trayvon Martin was murdered by racist George Zimmerman, there's now an armed group of neo-Nazis calling themselves white civil rights activists that are patrolling the streets to make sure that there's... To react in case there's a race riot, to protect white citizens in Sanford. Sanford is a city known, historically known for a lot of racial violence directed towards the black community, or the non-white communities. And it's disgusting that, I mean, how do you confront dudes that are armed to the teeth with every weapon that they're allowed by law to carry in the streets, and are racist ideologues believing in racial purity of the white race. They're patrolling the streets in case there's a race riot and where Trayvon Martin was murdered. Just ridiculous. I guess in follow-up to that, we got a song that was put out by A. The Academic. It's called Forever. Hope you enjoy it. It's in memory of Trayvon.
We can't never forget, man, what we came from.
This is the PA production. Press one. At as long. Don't forget. We're doing this. Forever, y'all. Stand up.
Can't forget.
PA.
Can't forget.
will agree how this never gonna end. You see the cycle still going, all we do is just blend. So how you like it, Malcolm and Pac or Huey and Biggs? By any means necessary, Brendan's babies gonna live. You dig? Power to the people if you ready to die. We can't apply to Malachi if all we do is get high. Don't deny, you figure Clarence showing God was a lie. But then the R swung the mic like a black samurai. Don't misapply the quasi particle to scream rap by. See Noble Juice spoke on him too, you let that fly right by. Give it a try, Dr. King, a great man in the dream. But word to God, I catch a rock, I'm going straight to the bank. You see the world could be a prison for the ones who believe. Yet I'm here for a reason, conquer those who deceive. Peace to all the prophets, man, we can't overlook. And tell that clown out in Texas ain't no chains on a book, son.
Yeah, Dr. King, I'm watching you. Got my eye on you, son. Stop playing with history here. You know what I mean? I'm not gonna let that happen. Don't came too far.
Malcolm and Martin.
Stand up.
Stolen, been distorted, to millions stolen, recorded. Just sported Rick and Mortis, the remnants of soldiers sorted. Kept swinging them backs, bled, so we twisted for pure dread. A sea of antiquity in the waters we do tread. Revealers of mystery are much quicker than crackheads. With bronze colored Timbs in them eyes, this brick red. We said, where'd it go wrong? The list too damn long. We march so we remember, 1 million plus fam strong. Now stop and try and figure this math that I deliver. How many of your clan were murdered way here and nigga? Death dealers were using rope, got quicker by using dope. Been hard, thank God, transmitters. To you and hope, commanded you 10 times, 15 started to rhyme. No time for his stories, your data gets flatlined. Sacrifice, don't undermine, forgetting is the worst crime. It's truth and perseverance, that's the ties that bind, homie.
Press one, get at him.
Security Theatrics and Byron Sony in McLean's.ca, McLean's magazine. It's called Security Theater. The bombastic display of body scanners and bomb squads paraded out in the airports and at mega events like the G20 to deter terrorists and make us all feel safe. Does it stop terrorists who aren't scared by the costumes and gadget? Or does it miss them entirely while ensnaring the hapless folks who stick out from the crowd? Those are the real questions yet to be answered in the curious race of Byron Sony. They likely won't be addressed until his criminal trial is over. The judge is deliberating now. The verdict is expected on April 23rd. That's when, if he is cleared, Sony has vowed to take legal action against the police for incarcerating him for 11 months and ruining his marriage and reputation. But we may have to wait even longer for answers to the big questions. As the spectacular security show is back on, yesterday, police bomb squad returned to Sony's former residence in Forest Hill 2 years after their first raid and dug up his backyard, as we noted last week on AWOL Radio. They found something, whisked it to the Leslie Street spit in a massive convoy and burned it. Initially, they planned to detonate it, but apparently it wouldn't detonate. So what was in it? The cops called it explosive material, and CTV reported that it was an explosive device. Most likely it was potassium chlorate, a perfectly legal substance found in matchsticks and firecrackers, also in disinfectants and fertilizer, but which is not itself explosive. I'm no chemist, but the internet tells me that potassium chlorate is very similar to potassium nitrate or saltpeter, which I used to buy at Shoppers Drug Mart when I was 12 and liked to make little smoke bombs with. The remains of this new threat will soon be examined, and hopefully we'll then learn whether Byron Sony made a bomb or not. Here's a hint, he didn't. If not, here will be some new questions. If the substance was so dangerous, why did the police wait until now to dig it up and destroy it, given that they knew about it for months? Is it a coincidence that the police staged the raid during Judge Spy's deliberation? Is it coincidence that the individual caught behind the raid is Detective Tambui, the same cop who led the investigation against Sony in the first place and who will have the most egg on his face and possibly the most liability if this case falls apart? If Bui is trying to influence the verdict, will there be consequences? This piece was written by Jesse Brown. He's the host of TVO.org's Search Engine Podcast. You can find him on Twitter at jessebrown.org. And again, that was posted on in McLean.ca, asking some very pointed questions as the defense for Byron Sony just agreed for the Crown to enter their new evidence, even though the judge has already reserved her decision. The new evidence relates to the 1.7 kilograms of potassium chlorate, which the police dug out of Byron Soni's former backyard last week now. Soni's lawyer says that the new evidence actually corroborates his client's defense. As a result, he says, rather than spend time fighting the Crown and cross-examining witnesses, he told the judge he wants her to have the evidence related to the find. The Crown says the way Soni stored the chemical under a camouflage net is in the yard suggests a nefarious purpose. This is Crown Prosecutor Nadeau. Crown Prosecutor Nadeau, who has made some of the most outrageous accusations during the G20 trials, has said that because the chemicals were stored under a camouflage net, it was nefarious. Soni is charged with possessing explosive and counseling mischief before the G20, although police never found any bombs. That was from the Star. Moving forward with protest against the same austerity agenda that was put out, that anti-human austerity agenda that was agreed to at the G20 in Toronto. Student radicals blame for locust infestation. This one I found on canoe.ca. In Montreal, students are suspected in an act of vandalism, or we used to call it protest, with biblical overtones after swarms of locusts overran the city's main business school last Thursday. Officials at the HEC school called in exterminators to fight the plague that came hours before Quebec offered its first olive branch in a 52-day student strike over tuition hikes. Unfortunately, that olive branch was infested by carpenter ants. It was a dirty trick. It was fake. You know, it wasn't good faith. But hundreds of locusts infested a classroom and two bathrooms at the HEC around 8:30 in the morning. A letter left at the scene made direct reference to the Book of Exodus that recounts plagues that hit Egypt in biblical times. Quote, Pharaoh hardens his heart, but justice is served, read the note. May it stain your walls and your air ducts. The insect infestation was one of two incidents at Quebec schools Thursday as hundreds of thousands of students continue their protests against tuition hikes. This is a gross article. I'm editing as I go along because it says as thousands of students continue their protests against tuition hikes. It's hundreds of thousands still on strike. There was over 300,000 on strike on March 22nd. There are still hundreds of thousands on strike still taking action. Premier Jean Charest wants to bring tuition fees up over $1,500, over $1,600 over the next 5 years. It's just gross. In an age of austerity, making people pay more for the things that they need to get a job in the capitalist system that makes sure that the people that implement the age of austerity have yachts. Following up with a story we were following earlier, No One Is Illegal Vancouver posted this one. Good news for Carla Lottini. She wins her fight to stay. Mexican whistleblower Carla Lottini wins fight to stay in Canada. We are thrilled to share the news that award-winning Mexican journalist and whistleblower Carla Berenice Garcia Ramirez, who writes under the pen name Carla Lottini, has won her and her family's right to remain in Canada. Carla and her family received a positive decision on their humanitarian and compassionate application shortly after a public campaign developed to support the family. Over 50 support letters were filled in the past 2 months from dozens of local and international organizations, as well as information about how news stories covering her case locally were being picked up by the Mexican media, and hence increasing her risk if deported. Thank you to all our allies who wrote letters, shared the story of Carla and her family, and supported Carla alongside us. We are inspired by the courage of Carla and her family, who reached out and spoke out despite intense fear. Despite a system that silences refugees, we know that while we build our collective power, we can win. Known as legal status for all people. Statement from Carla. We finally won. I say we won because it is you and us, because we got justice thanks to your support. Just our voice was not enough, because this was not only our fight, and we had this miracle of love from people who never left us alone, who were always there to comfort us, giving us ideas, making us strong, feeding us with faith in the face of devastating struggle. We are now here with a chance to preserve our integrity and safety. Thanks to the support of many people, at least 20 local and international human rights, immigrant rights, and journalist organizations, dozens of media outlets that reported on our story and helped us become visible, and all our friends, community, and fellow refugees who wrote letters to the Minister of Immigration, special thanks to Known as Illegal, Latino Soy, Codesses, and Vancouver South Cultural Project, because they have supported us and treated us as humans. They are now our friends, and we walk together in favor of justice. We will continue fighting for immigrants and refugee rights. Why? Because we are aware of what could have happened to us if we were deported. And we know so many more asylum seekers, especially Mexicans, are being rejected and deported. And now with Bill C-31, the situation will only get worse. We had a cheerful ending because of the support and from speaking out. And now we will be working to help others do the same. Thanks always, never enough. Ambar, Nisete, Cesar, and Carla. And of course, Carla is an award-winning journalist who became a whistleblower against the National Council for Culture and Arts, where she uncovered severe corruption within the government ministry in Mexico. Her and her husband fled to Canada in 2008 after her family and her family members were subjected to verbal and physical intimidation, including repeated death threats. She has two Canadian-born daughters, and while in Canada, Carla launched her book, The Talent of Charlatans, at SFU and the University of British Columbia. A report from the Canadian Lawyer magazine, CanadianLawyerMag.com, says it straight up. Canada is no longer a safe haven for genuine refugees. There we go. And it's because of the changes under Bill C-31 and the changes that Harper has been pushing since he got into power. His anti-immigrant, anti-refugee, neoliberal take on this. It's being written by, you know, not radical lawyers, not... And we got one... Oh, no, we don't. That's it for this Smash the State report. Hope you enjoyed it. We're going to go to a couple tunes and come back in studio live with radical historian Luke Stewart talking about the rally, march, and community meal happening in Caledonia and Conestoughton, Grand River Territory, on April 28th. Check out April28.net for more information on that. And you know, there's a Facebook website, Conestoughton Six Nations. We are going to go to a tune from the Angelic Upstarts, and the song is Anti-Nazi, because it's really good to be against Nazis.
Why are you asking? Do you want to know? Understand the meaning? Not a lot to know. The answers hurt your brain. My questions feed the pain. You want to hurt me for the words I say. Don't hit me, you bottom man. Choose to play when they call the tune. And my dying will come play. Anti-Nazi is what I am. That's the way I stay till I die. A package anywhere.
Nazis!
AWOL Radio. That's Anti-Nazi by Angelic Upstarts. Anti-Nazi, in other words, against, because we recognize that that sucks. They suck. Good. Yeah, some very disheartening news the other day at UW. UW police towed the vehicle of a disabled man from the wheelchair parking area and then mocked his ability to get it from the impound. Very disgraceful and shameful. Not fully unexpected from any police force, but it's unfortunate to see a campus police force, something that's not supposed to be as militarized, something that's supposed to, you know, something that in idea has the possibility to actually serve the community, to absolutely just power trip, extort money out of this man to get his car back from the locked area. You know, they said, "Oh, it was private property." Well, so is his vehicle, and they stole his vehicle and then they extorted $90 out of him to get it back. Just shameful, disgraceful behavior from UW police earlier this week.